Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and those of you watching the clock, waiting for the tip-off of March Madness and basically the end of your productivity for the rest of the month, imagine this scenario. At 12:15 p.m., exactly 27 minutes from now, players for Ohio State and Dayton link arms, refuse to acknowledge the referees, and walk off the court. 25 minutes later, the men of American University in Wisconsin in Game 2 do the same. It's a scenario envisioned, while acknowledging a zero chance of actually happening, by Slate editor Josh Levine. He's executive editor and host of Slate's sports podcast. Hang up and listen, and let's hear about it. Josh, welcome back to WNYC, and thank you for trying to ruin March Madness for everybody.
The greatest sports day of the year, Brian, and I'm just the buzzkill that nobody wants to hear from, so thanks for having me on.
So why do you want to kill this buzz?
Because we're very selfish when it comes to college sports. I'm a college sports fan, and I love it. I grew up loving it. But the NCAA tournament is really what shows the unfairness of college sports in the most stark relief. The NCAA signed a $10.8 billion deal with CBS and Turner to broadcast the tournament in 2010. You hear Greg Gumbel talking about the NCAA corporate champions, AT&T, Capital One and Coca-Cola. You have coaches getting contract bonuses for getting their teams in the tournament. You have money going into the WNYC office pool, and whoever wins gets to take it home. And who?
They're not supposed to know about that.
All right, that's just between us.
Won't tell anybody.
Where does this money not touch? Who does not get the money? It's the guys that we actually care about, the ones that are making this happen. It's the players. And so this greatest sports day of the year is, you know, on the back of a volunteer workforce.
And it's sort of a classic labor management situation, right, where all of the capital is concentrated with the NCAA, but without the players, there is no game. So do you think any players have actually considered this scenario?
I think probably not, because in this country, if you're a basketball fan or a basketball player, March Madness is the thing that you want to be involved in. If you're playing in your driveway, you want to, you know, hit the shot to win the NCAA tournament. And so for these players, whether they're at big schools or small schools, this is the dream and the culmination of that dream. And it's asking a lot for, you know, you to give that up for some higher purpose if this is what you've been working for your whole life.
Which means they don't feel so bad about it? Do you think you feel worse about it than the college players?
Well, I think that they probably feel exploited kind of in a macro sense. Maybe they feel less exploited than any other time when they're actually on the court playing the game they love, you know, with a lot of acclamation around it. That, I'm sure, feels fun and natural and great. It's all the other stuff surrounding college sports where it feels like a full-time job, one that you don't get paid for.
Listeners, would you support a strike? Do you have any reaction to this idea one way or another? Any thoughts on the big money in March Madness? Did you know those stats? I did, but we don't say them on the radio very much, that 14-year, $10.8 billion deal with CBS and Turner to broadcast these March Madness tournaments, bringing so much money into the schools and to the NCAA. But as amateurs, the players would be disqualified if they take a dollar in endorsement contracts or anything else. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Josh Levine, executive editor of Slate and host of their sports podcast, Hang Up and Listen. Josh, I guess this, I'm guessing, but maybe this would affect the kind of average college player on good teams more than it would affect the big stars, the names that break out, who become nationally known as college athletes, because they're the ones who are likely to go on and have professional careers and eventually get their payday. But they're a small minority of the actual college players who are still driving this money into their schools and into the organization.
Yeah, I mean, it takes all kinds of players to support March Madness, right? You need the big superstars, the guys like Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker, the ones that are in the college game probably for just a year. People want to tune in and see those great players. But you also need the guys from American, because that's why we watch the tournament too, players who, you know, maybe we'll know their names in a couple hours, but we don't know them right now. But these are all, you know, all reasons why we want to watch this tournament, and you need all these kinds of players to create this college basketball ecosystem that's worth $11 billion.
An ecosystem to match the ecosystem. And to be clear, you're not proposing a full-on strike, but a show, a protest, a symbolic moment, this linking arms and walking off the court rather than just starting the game as scheduled on national television at 12:15. And it would just delay the game by a couple of minutes, but it would make the point, and it would get all the sports media talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, the inspiration for this was Taylor Branch's essential article that everyone should read, The Shame of College Sports from 2011. He, you know, reveals that there was a plan to do this kind of wildcat strike during a Final Four. And who knows how serious that was. The team that was supposedly going to do it got eliminated before the championship game, but this could have potentially happened. But I think that if something like this were to happen, it would actually be more effective to do it before the opening game on the first Thursday of the tournament, because then you have 3 full weeks where everybody is talking about this. It's not just for one day during one game.
Let me get a couple of callers on with you. Dan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Brian. A couple points. One, I think it's a bit of a misnomer to say that these athletes aren't necessarily getting paid, because many of them are getting scholarships, which not only pay their way through college, but then also would hopefully lead to employment if they do end up finishing that degree, regardless of whether or not they play sports.
How about that point, Josh?
I don't really agree with that because, well, for one thing, scholarships don't cover the full cost of attendance at a school, but they also just don't reflect how much the athlete is bringing in to the school if the athlete is bringing in. You know, it's just $10.8 billion just for the tournament. There are also all the TV deals. There's all the tickets. There's everything else. And so that's just not the true market rate for what these basketball players are worth.
Glenn in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, how are you? I have 2 sons who played Division I athletics. Both of them happen to have played football. They're not basketball players. But I'd just like to point out to the last caller that scholarships are given on a year-to-year basis, and a school can back out of a scholarship for any reason during a student's athletic attendance at a school. So the misnomer that schools are offering 4-year deals is those people are totally uninformed. Of the students, in my last son graduated in May. Of the freshmen that came into his class, only 6 graduated in the last within 4 years, and they were all verbally committed to a 5-year ride. They redshirted the first year, and then at the end of the day, the school decided that they weren't going to carry any 5th-year players. So those students that did not graduate, or those athletes that did not graduate in 4 years, basically they were sent to the street without their degree.
Huh. That's a terrible story, especially if that was promised and then rescinded based on expectations and the course schedule that those students took. Glenn, thank you for your call. But in our last 30 seconds, Josh Levine, you know, I don't know whether I'm surprised or not by the number of people on the board who are actually calling to push back and saying, look, you know, if they're playing on these top college teams, they're getting a 4-year education, food and housing. This is worth like $250,000 over 4 years these days. One more comment in literally 10-second soundbite.
Yeah, that's just not the market rate. I mean, it's a good deal if you're not one of the, you know, greatest basketball players in the world who would be paid way more than that if it wasn't, you know, banned by the NCAA.
All right. Josh Levine, executive editor of Slate and host of their sports podcast called Hang Up and Listen. We'll see what really happens at 12:15 this afternoon between Ohio State and Dayton. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
Now, listeners, I mentioned earlier that if you're turned off by the corporate nature of March Madness or just don't like basketball, there are all sorts of alternative brackets out there. And here are two that might be of interest to you. I mentioned earlier that the Brian Lehrer Show is locked in a heated battle on KPCC Public Radio's bracket, pitting public radio shows against each other. We escaped our first round matchup by a single vote against Ask Me Another. But now we are in a second round against Studio 360. So vote for us, Barry Kurt Anderson. We're trying to pull off the big upset against that national show. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And WNYC is running a bracket of our own in true New York fashion. We're trying to find New York City's best bodega cat. So go to WNYC.org and find our bodega cat bracket. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.